welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. As we continue our series on feeding the PIC sow for optimal performance, this episode focuses on farrowing and weaned estrus feeding programs. Our guests for part three of this series are Kansas State's Dr. Steve Dreetz, PIC's Weasley Orlando, and Marcio Gonzalez, former PIC nutritionist and founder of the swine.it platform.
Hi, this is Steve Dreetz from Kansas State University.
My name is Marcio Gonzalez.
My name is Weasley Orlando, and I'm a global nutrition director at PIC.
Take me to the next phase. Farrowing day, 21 days after that. How am I feeding these animals?
I think in farrowing, you know, I probably sound like a talking head, and every nutritionist on the planet talks about the importance of feed intake and lactation, you know. And again, it's one of those concepts that are simple but harder to implement at the farm level. You know, and we've made some great strides over the last few years, over the last 10 years probably. You know, and I think that's one of the things that have made the U.S. industry competitive is we've become so much better at feeding lactating sows and maximizing their lactation intake.
2007, I made one presentation in a conference in Brazil called Sinsui. And my last slide was actually feeding for the modern sow or something like that. And my last slide was a picture from a car with a advisory in the back say, do not buy this car because this and this and this. And my comment was, do not add a chance for your customer blame you like this, right? Because I was on the other side of the table talking about genetic companies that do not provide good information in terms of feeding lactation, right? So, but the point is, I'm here, I mean, when the people ask me, I say, it's hard to get. I can provide you models. We have today equations that can predict it. Feed intake, right? But feed intake is really based in by environment. Different countries, different feeders, different health. It's really, really tough. What we know today is, in terms of lactation, we need to make sure that we have actual diet, that we achieve, in the end of the day, the grams of lysine or grams of amino acids that we predicted with a reasonable energy intake, right? This is the important point, and actually work with the management to maximize intake as possible. But sometimes nutritionists try to, hey, let's concentrate the diet. I like the approach to concentrate the diet in amino acids, but I'm really tough today. I'm not sure I'm right, but at least it's my opinion about that. People try to figure out, say, let's put fat in my diet and try to concentrate the diet, right? What happened in the end? Probably the cells eat similar amount of energy or lower in energy. Because sometimes they regulate the intake because they have some issues. Or, for example, look at the environment. When they have a hot temperature, they do not eat it because it's a survivability. I mean, is they have to survive. They control the intake, the energy intake, because milk is a really high heat production. They are trying to survive, right? So work and management have more probably chance to success than only do by nutrition.
So your lactation diet doesn't change from day one to day 21, day 18, whatever your weaned diet is. No reason to.
Well, there's, again, from a practical standpoint, it's difficult to do it on a farm. I totally agree with Weasley, you know, that diet formulation, it's easy to increase the lysine level or it's easy to put fat in the diet. You know, I can make that change at the feed mill. It's relatively easy, but it's not going to make up for restrictions in feed intake that are caused by environmental or management type things. So that's the primary focus. And I agree totally. We don't want to put a lot of fibrous ingredients in the diet and lower the energy. And we don't want to add a lot of high energy ingredients like fat sources either. So we want a moderate level of energy and focus on total intake and focus on getting a lot of the calories from carbohydrates as well as fat.
On that arena, there is some data, you know, assuming, for instance, a carnivore diet, if you go much above 4 or 5%, if you go to 6% added fat, they reduce intake so much to a degree that their actually total daily intake is actually reduced compared to a diet that has a little less fat. So it can, you know, shoot you in the foot a little bit sometimes from that standpoint.
And if you go to more extreme levels too, there's research data that there's negative impacts on reproduction from fat calories too.
I agree. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, and actually, I think a nutritionist try to play it on this diet and say, yeah, let's concentrate. They try to figure out by the software works very well. Steve mentioned it's really easy to do. And also, we know that the production manager, they pushing the nutritionist to do that. Say, I remember my first summer, I started to work in February in Brazil, summer. They asked me, hey, you guys, and I did my first year. I mean, put some strategy to get my toolbox and say, hey, let's do that. What happened in the next year? Let's change again. I changed. What happened? They call me and say, hey, can you do again? No, I did. They say, no, we need to do again or something else. I say, okay, after 5 years, I do not have anything and I put a lot of cost in my diet. So believe me, when I turn back and I push back, say, let's do simple. Simple means I'm not saying that, hey, let's work with a diet with the right amino acids, follow the genetic companies that support me in terms of grams per day. And let's work with good sources of fat, good sources of ingredients, formulate a diet, but maybe palatine because can improve energy in the end of the day. And that's it. And that works in environmental because we know one thing, but these strategies in nutrition, we are increasing the cost. And lactation is 32-35% of the volume and amount of feed per cell per year. If you put a couple dollars per year, we have this fixed cost every single year. But if I do something by environment that I can improve the feed intake, I can avoid this cost. And this is something that our customer or partners have to realize. Do something by nutrition is an increase in the fixed cost and is not guaranteed that we will fix the problem. And I do not believe they we will in 10 years because look at the improvement. We are talking today about 30-something, maybe in 10 years, 40-something. And, of course, we are doing research. We will discover much more in nutrition in the next 5, 10 years. But I don't think we will discover something really magical that you control these restrictions or constraints in feed intake.
And that brings up a good point. Typically, with that Weasley brings up, this is one area in the lactation side where I tend to try to feed to the productivity level of the gilt because her feed intake is usually about 20% less, and we want to make sure that we have adequate amino acids based on the gilt intakes. So I do tend to maybe overfeed a herd as a whole if we're only feeding one lactation diet and focus on adequately feeding the gilt. And the challenge is from an amino acid standpoint, just where to set those numbers. We try to focus on somewhere between 60, or approximately 60 grams of SID lysine relative to the productivity of weaning 12 pigs or 13 pigs nowadays and their growth rates. So in a gilt diet, that would be somewhere between a 1 and a 1.15 lysine diet. We see lower diet when we're feeding lower energy around the world. We see a little lower than that, but I think that's an area much higher than that. They're not going to get the energy intake to drive the productivity.
One thing that I don't know if we've touched already is right after farrowing, when farrowing is finished, we want to full feed, right? We want to let her eat as much as she wants. There is, you know, you go to other continents and countries where there's still quite a bit of producers there, that, you know, step up that female for 3 days, 5 days, 7 days sometimes. And the challenge there is that you have a high percentage of females in that barn that would love to eat way more than that. Maybe, you know, and that's where it gets tricky. You're restricting quite a bit of females there. And that's why, you know, we want to fulfill them. That should help on winning weight and that standpoint.
Yes, I would agree with Marcio. There's two areas there. One, if you look at the nutrient requirements of a sow, that's where she's in the most energy deficient phase, is during that first part of lactation. And the second thing I always tell people when we're talking about restrict feeding in the early part of lactation is, with a modern sow that's nursing adequate amount of pigs and has good mammary development, there is no piece of scientific literature that would say restrict feeding will actually, or that ad libitum feeding will lead to any negative impacts on mammary development or milk production or those kinds of things. And there's only, you know, the literature is clear that the effects are positive with the types of litter sizes that we're nursing nowadays.
Yeah. And before I forgot, just one point about lactation period that is really important. We need to really, make clear that part of the nutrients that it's available to milk, it's by the diet, and part could be by actually mobilizing tissues. So I would say it's normal to have a loss of body condition during the lactation. Up to one point, I mean, like 7%, we do not have a magical number, but it's up to 7%, it's okay. It's part of the game. I mean, it's not only by feed, okay? So, and I agree with Steve and Marcio, we have to maximize feed since the first week to make sure that when the sows have the maximum production in the second week, they are really close than the requirement and they are mobilizing, I would say, less as possible, because we know that higher than 10%, they have losses. And of course, we have losses in the next pairs. But loss, I would say mobilization is really part of the game, right?
Maybe, go ahead, then.
Yeah, so just maybe to make it clear on the full feeding during lactation is that maybe for someone that's new to the industry, you know, like, well, you can imagine, well, I'm going to give a lot of feed, right? I want to see like 18, 20 pounds in front of her. And sometimes you start getting some old feed there, and, you know, summer, they start playing with the water and it gets mold and gets sour. And when we say full feed, we're talking like new feed for her every single day, a fresh, we call it a fresh feed in
the
front of
her. The best possible.
Yeah, it's interesting, Marcio. I was on a farm just a couple weeks ago, and they claim they were getting 18 pounds of intake in lactation. Well, then we sat down, and we actually went through their delivery records and went through their production records and got the number of cells farrowed and everything. Well, we found out they were feeding a bunch of lactation in the breeding barn. They were also feeding a bunch in the gilt development, and I don't know, they were feeding somewhere else as well. We ended up calculating it, then it ended up being 12 pounds. You know, you really got to dig into the records sometimes and get true feed intake, I think.
Yeah, you take out a good point, is how can we calculate that? I have 2 points on that. First, when people ask me which type of feed I have, I say lactation. The only place that you have, or we recommend to have a lactation, is in a farrowing room. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, how about a winter service interval? How about this? How about the gilt preparation? Say, you have your gilt preparation inside the farrowing room? No. The answer is no. It's lactation there. Okay. So, and if you have this as a rule, the second point is if you have the feed delivered for a, not a short period of time, but for 12 months, and you divide for your crates, you have at least one good number. Instead, just have one assumption, one guess, let's say, hey, it's a 15, it's 16, it's 18 pounds. Because people have a really, I would say production managers, some, most of the percent of the time, they confuse the average and they guess upon the maximum feeding day that actually is achieved up the end of the second week. And if you got on the average, you have a much lower on this, right?
And Weasley makes a good point. That brings us into the weaned to estrus. You know, it's a common practice around the world to feed lactation diet during the weaned estrus period. And really, when you go in, there hasn't been a lot of research, but the research, you know, the little bit of research data that would be there certainly doesn't support that. And then on the other aspect of it, you know, you think about what's happening with that sow. She's no longer lactating. So her major nutrient demand is milk production.
Is that the best time in the life cycle to manage condition?
No, the best time in the life cycle is to manage it in the previous gestation period and during the previous lactation period. That's where you're going to manage body condition.
When the service interval is a period, actually, is a short period of time, it's good to have you're moving for a negative balance for a positive balance. But as Marcio and Steve mentioned, and I agree with Steve, today we have more data to support us with a new recommendation that ad libitum feed intake during this period is not necessary. It's not the right probable approach to do. And also, when the people talking about ad libitum, they're talking about really free excess feed and sometimes bad feed, I mean, feed available. And it's not necessary. Again, as Marshall commented about lactation period, I mean, if you have a feed in front of the sow, it's not necessary. They will eat that. Because if you pass in a couple hours, they start to have losses or became more easy to have more mold to develop and issues with the feed. I mean, good feed available and the right feed available. And I'm really, really, I would say okay with using gestation during this period. Okay. And I do not believe that the sows will eat more than 8 pounds. I mean, and the trials, even in the trials, was hard to see sows eating more than 8 pounds.
Yeah. We want adequate feed intake during this period, but I don't want to go into the breeding area and see all kinds of feed going into the pit either.
Joining us today on The Squeal were special guest Dr. Steve Dreetz, along with Marcio Gonzalez from swine.it and PIC's Weasley Orlando discussing best breeding herd nutritional practices. The two previous episodes were discussing gilt development and gestation rations and feeding programs. You're welcome to share this PIC podcast widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.